Good to be back. It's good to be back. If you want to turn to Luke 21, we're going to read just a few verses and be seated. Luke 21 and verse 29. And he spake to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. We know that all these things will be fulfilled, right? We're living in that day. Verse 34, take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. Just the cares of this life, just the regular, the things we do, you know, we have to work, you have to take care of your family, you have to take care of your kids, all the things that we do, and yet it become such a time that we get so focused on those things and lose sight of what really is going on, all right? For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. This isn't just us, this is the entire world, right? Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. You may have a seat if you like. I feel kind of like maybe the president or the pope or something when they have that glass in front of that bulletproof glass. If I stand over here, I get shot, so I'm going to stay back here. So anyways, God bless you. I'm glad we can have church, aren't you? So Jesus is saying, don't let the things of this world get you so focused, get you so tore up, get you so, your eyes off the prize, off the main thing, right? And then he says, if we watch, therefore, and pray always, you can be accounted worthy. That doesn't mean you're going to pray enough that, well, I prayed enough, I'm worthy now. But what we're doing is, it's that relationship we have with Christ, that he can come and make himself so real, and we can have such that relationship that we're ready for the rapture when it comes, because we all want to go in the rapture, right? My goodness, I think we've had enough of this world, all right? And so what we want to look at here is, Brother Branham said one place, he said, we overcome Satan by recognizing at his tricks. That's how we overcome, is recognizing him when he comes against you. And so what I want to do today and follow it up, finish up next week, I think, I've got two parts to this. We want to look at recognizing Satan's diversions, all right? The things he tries to divert us with, we're going to focus on just one main diversion, I think. But just the way that Satan comes to get us looking at the wrong thing, to get our focus on the wrong thing, and find out that we're going to miss what's going on, what God's really doing. Now, the way we do this, friends, is we are bride. If we are bride, I believe we are, then we're not going to be deceived. But I think it's important to recognize something, that some people have the wrong idea about what it means to be bride and not being deceived. They think it's like an invisible cloak we put on, or some kind of magic, or, well, you're bride, you can't be deceived, boob, whatever. It's not the way it is. God tells us how this works. It's in Ephesians 4. He says, I gave you a fivefold ministry in order that you will not be tossed to and fro with all the deceitful things of man. That's the way that we not be deceived, friends, is because we are subject to the ministry that God gave us. So then I ask you, if you're not subject to the ministry God gave us, how are you not going to be deceived? You can't help but be deceived. It's impossible not to, because that's the only way God gave us not to be deceived. Well, I'm bride. I cannot be deceived. Of course not, because the word comes and opens your eyes to what Satan is doing. That's the way God keeps us from it. It's because the word exposes Satan at his tricks. And if you don't have that word exposing him, you will be deceived. The entire world. All right? That's where we're starting. Now, today, I'm just going to try and put a foundation down for what I want to speak on and kind of cap it off next Sunday, Lord willing, if it goes the way I think it will. So we just want to get started, and it's just nothing but review, nothing I'm going to say you don't know already. Well, you're probably going to be able to quote the quotes with me as I go, because you've heard these things so many times, but just so that we're all on the same, by next Sunday, we're all on the same page, we all know where I'm coming from, it's going to make more sense. So if you want to turn to Daniel, the second chapter, we're going to read several verses out of Daniel 2, we're going to start at verse 37. And this is Daniel interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream. You all know about the image with the goat, the head all the way down to the feet. So let's look at this a little bit. It says, verse 37, "Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength and glory." Now notice who gave him this power. It's God, right? But yet we know that Satan controls all the kingdoms of the world. So God allows this to happen. That's how it goes. And then verse 38, he says, "Wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold." So he was a king over the entire world. After thee shall arise another king inferior to thee, that is a silver, another third king of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh into pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all things, shall it break in pieces and bruise. So what he's doing, he's showing the characteristics of the iron. "Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou saw the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron, part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay." So we recognize something here, friends. It goes all the way to the end of the Gentile dispensation. It ends up at the very bottom with iron and clay mixed together. At the very end, that's what it's going to be. But recognize that that characteristic of the iron is all the way to the end, and then at the very end, it mixes with clay. This is where we're at, friends. Because that's the last Gentile kingdom. That's the last, the dispensation. After that, the dispensation of the Gentiles is over. He goes back to the Jews. So this is going to be all the way to the end. So this is where we are at. We are still in the Gentile dispensation. Just a few more seconds of time, in my opinion, and then it's going to be gone. But that's where we're at. So we need to recognize what's going on. So you got to recognize a couple of things. First of all, the iron is strong. It stamps everything in front of it. It crushes everything. It puts up with nothing. That was the characteristics of the Roman Empire. It's the characteristics of all the way to the end, right? The clay is weaker. The clay is weaker, and the clay does not mix with the iron. It's like if you take a great big smelter, however they do it, and you put brass in there and tin and iron, you would mix that together. You get some kind of composite metal that would be all together. But they would be so mixed together, you could not say, well, this part is tin, this part is iron, this part is copper, whatever. It would be so mixed together, you could not separate them apart, right? But if you took that same thing and put iron in there and clay in there, you can melt them all down. That clay and the iron is never going to fuse and become one. They're always going to keep their own separate identity. Very important. That by next Sunday, I believe, we're going to see that it's so important to recognize they do not mix together. Although they are together, they're side by side, and they are both ruling in this time. In our day, they are both there together, but they are never going to mix. Well, you cannot separate the two apart. Although they're going to try, right? Then it says, also it says, let me read this again. It says, where is it at? Oh, yeah. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of man, but they shall not cleave one to another. So what does that mean, they mingle themselves with the seed of man? It's because they get their power by having people accept them. Right? Let's say I'm going to run for president. God forbid. But let's say I did, right? And I go on campaigning for the next 2 years. And after 2 years, you say, well, Phil, how's your campaign going? I said, I got three people going to vote for me. Well, they're going to look at me like I'm a joke. Well, that's nothing. You don't have no power. But what if I said, I got 30 million people going to vote for me? Why? Because they're accepting me, what I'm selling, what I'm preaching, what I'm trying to get. And if I can get these people to accept it, then I get power from that. And that's what these things have to, these two spirits, which they are two spirits, the iron and the clay, they have to get people to accept them. And they do this through deception. Both of them do. Very deceiving to get people. They say something to you, but remember the spirit in them. Remember the characteristics. No matter how good it sounds, it's still going to be the same characteristics. Amen. Amen. They're seeking dominance. They want to control over man. That's what it was all the way down, you know, the Gentile age is about controlling the earth, controlling people. And then we know what these spirits are, right? Iron is Romanism and clay is communism. Let me just read what Brother Branham says. The powers have had a revival, the national powers. There is a revival on now. Who's going to be the greatest power? Communism? Everybody you hear, preacher stand in the pulpit, oh, let us fear communism. He said, nonsense. Show me the scripture where communism will rule the world. Romanism will rule the world, not communism. We all know that, right? No big secret. We've heard that many years. Look at King Nebuchadnezzar's vision, the word of the Lord, the head of gold, brass on down into the Roman feet, which was iron and never changed. The stone came while it was in the iron and smote it. Remember at the end, it was mixed with clay, the weakness, clay and iron together. So then he goes ahead and tells us what the clay is. This great meeting we just had between Khrushchev and Eisenhower. You know what Khrushchev means in his own national tongue? Khrushchev means mud or clay. Eisenhower means in English, iron. And to make it even plain to the people, Khrushchev took off his shoe and beat the desk. What was it? Indicating this was the feet. And you had iron from the west, you had clay from the east. It was the Romanism and communism. You say, well, Eisenhower wasn't Romanism. Hang on a second. We'll find out what spirit is driving it. They will not agree. Who's going to rule? Rome will rule. A confederation of churches with Catholicism will bind it together. And right there you are, the ruling power. The Bible says so, and that seed can't fail. Let me read some more what Brother Branham said. Well, let me not get to that. So, there's these two spirits ruling the world right now. It's going on right now, right? He said, well, why can't they mix? What is so hard for them to mix? Because they are two totalitarian spirits. You look at Romanism, the Roman Empire coming down, and they stamped and crushed everything that came, and they just destroyed everything in front of them, right? Communism does the same thing. We can look back at what the Catholic Church did to the Dark Ages. They killed 60-some million people who did not agree with them. That same spirit, right? Communism has the same attitude. They have killed more than the Catholics did over the last, just like the 1900s, they killed over 100 million people, forcing them to accept communism. So you have these two spirits. They're not going to get along because they both have to be in charge. And yet, well, if I'm totalitarian and you got to come under my control and you got the same kind of spirit, we are going to bump heads. We are never going to accept, well, okay, I'm going to subject myself to your rule. It's not going to, because that's the spirit within these two forces. And we're dealing with spiritual forces. This is about spiritual warfare. This is what's going on. And they are not going to like each other. They are going to hate each other. They're going to hate each other. They can't help it. It's their nature. They have control issues. They both want to be in control. Iron comes in as a religion. You know, it switched. We're going to read here a little bit where it switched from pagan to papal Rome. They had the same nature in the religion because Satan saw what God was doing. He said, I got to change the way I'm doing things because I got to mimic God because I got to come close. So he had to become religious. Satan had to become religious right there and in his final kingdom there. And he had to get the people to accept that religion. So Daniel said he'd come in with flatteries. He comes with religion. He comes with being nice to people. We just all want to be one. We just want, won't you just come and join us? And then they use fear to keep them there. Communism does the same thing. You know what they say? Social justice. We just want to create a society where everyone is equal, where everyone's, no one's discriminated against. Everyone has the same amount of money. Everyone's, you know, no one's rich, no one poor. We're all just happy together. I don't know. I'm sure you've picked up on this if you read anything about what's going on. But you know the social justice thing, this comes from Marxism, which is where communism comes from. And friends, they literally believe, it just boggles my mind to say this, they literally believe that they are going to create a society where there is no crime. Everyone is happy. When I first heard about this, do away with the police, you know, get rid of the police that's going on. And I thought, well, that's just some, you know, just an outshoot from this, the shootings. It's not. That's part of their agenda, friends, because they actually believe you don't need police. Back when the Soviet Union was going on, especially at the beginning of it, they did not believe that there would be any crime in Soviet Union. Stalin said, there's no murder in paradise, because they believe they're creating such a society, that was such a place where everyone would be happy. There's no reason to commit a crime. This is what they believe. This is what they're teaching. This is why people are falling for it, because they want this, and they think that people are inherently good. And so if you create the right society, everyone will just be happy and be nice to each other. That's why they got to get rid of things like capitalism, where some people have more and other people have less, because it's that difference in society is what causes so much crime. They believe this stuff. That's why the redistribution of wealth, that's what the whole Save the Planet is all about, is these people actually believe that if you just put them in the right situation, everyone's happy. We have paradise here on earth. It just blows my mind. We have this, I guess I can go here. We have this program at work, and it's, I'm not going to call the name of it, but we actually believe this is what we teach our staff, to teach our kids. Everyone will do well if they can. The reason people don't do well is because they don't have the skill to do it. They can't, which makes them not responsible for doing bad. And so our job is teach them skills, because everyone wants to do good. I wish I could convince myself of that. There's no choice in it. It's society. You don't have freedom of choice. It's not that all. It's what you're forced on you by society. This is what drives this stuff we see on the left right now, our liberal, our friends out there, the way they're doing the writing and all, because they actually believe that if you don't go along with that, you are standing in their way of having a great society to live in. You are worthy to be hated. You shouldn't even have a voice anymore. They don't believe in freedom. See, because if you have freedom, people think for themselves. If you have freedom of religion, you have whatever religion, you got to do away with these things, friend. That's what they are trying to do, is totally, you know, Obama said we're going to fundamentally change America, right? This is what he's talking about. This is what the left is driving for. And we look at that and say, are you kidding? And they look at us and say, but look what you are doing. Are you kidding? And there's no way these two ever come together. You got clay against iron, and they're bumping heads, and there's no way they're ever going to come together. You say, well, are we iron? No, we're not iron. We're caught in the middle between the two. We're caught in the middle between the two, so we need to recognize what's going on around us. All right? All right? Look, America right now is more divided than she was during the Civil War. Absolutely. And we actually had two armies and two governments fighting each other. And right now there's a bigger division, and we are further apart than ever. And it's because the clay and the iron will not mix. And yet they're right here among us. Isn't that scary? I just read this morning, Brother Bram said, if you're a sinner, this is the worst time. You're horrible. Your doom is here. He said, for the believer, it's the greatest time. And so from my natural perspective, when I look at this with my human mind, oh my goodness, what's going on here? I'm ready to panic. And then God says, really? Really? Do I got this or not? Then quit your worrying. This is the best time. Do we really believe this or not? We've heard it our whole lives. The best time to be a Christian. It's the time for the bride. We believe it? Then we need to tell ourselves, you know, we need to start acting like we believe and stop being afraid of and fearful and stressed about all these things. It's easy to look at the news and stress. I quit looking at the news for them. I'll read some headlines just to kind of get an idea what's going on, and then it's like, you can have it. They can't have it. Yep. Jesus said this, Mark 3:23. He said, he called unto him, said unto his this parable. He said, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. If Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. this is where Satan's got a problem. Because he recognizes that his house is divided against itself. He's got these two forces and he's got to get them united, because as long as they're divided, he knows that according to what Jesus said, his kingdom cannot stand. It's got to fall. That's why the United States is going to fall, because she is divided against herself. It's not going to last. The sooner we can just take our hands off and let it go and say, let's just focus on going in a rapture and let them have it. And that kills me. Because I'm very patriotic. I love this country. What she stood for, what she's done, what she could be. But she's not anymore. How does this work? Let me just read some here. Brother Branham talked about national spirits. You all know about this. I'm going to skip some of this just to say it. He said, wherever you go and find a national spirit, you have different ways. It's so strange. He talks about the different spirits in Germany and France and England and Finland and the United States. He said, those spirits get jealous of another spirit. What do? They cause war. You can look at that down in the 18th century, 1800s and 1900s, especially France and Germany, they could not get along. They're always going to war. Ended up going to war in World War I, World War II. And a lot of that was France and Germany sitting right beside each other. They just hated each other. It wasn't the people, it was the spirit driving them. They were jealous of each other. Well, it's the same thing here, friends. The clay and the iron, they get jealous of each other and they're fighting. They want to go against each other, right? Let me find this quote I read here. I was going to say. He said, Brother Ram saying this. I said, there's three isms that rose up: Nazism, fascism, and communism. Them isms will revolve and come around into one. It'll be communism. Watch. He said, communism will burn Rome. You watch it. It's a tool in God's hand. They think they're against God. They're actually working right into all the time and don't know it. Isn't that funny? In a very ironic sort of way. Communism, they hate God. They hate the thought of God. They think, you know, religion has destroyed people. And yet they're the ones that God's going to use, playing right into his hands. He said, he's just using them as a puppet. Can you imagine going to some of your liberal friends and say, you know, God's using your spirit as a puppet to destroy? Boy, that would get you some friends. Some tool in his hand like he did Nebuchadnezzar and many of the others. All right? I got so much I want to jump to, but I got to wait till next Sunday. So let me just set that aside. I keep going. All right, so these isms, we see, let me read this. He said, we find that because do that, they cause great fusses and so forth. See, as long as Satan controls it, there's going to be wars and troubles and wars. Jesus said, Matthew 24, you hear wars and rumors of wars and wars. Why? Because the prince of the earth, the Satan, the power of the nations, there's a national spirit, and that national spirit here, it's devils. They can't get along with one another. They can't get along with one. Even the demons. Satan's kingdom is so divided because the demons themselves can't get along with one another. Can you imagine being in charge of that? He's got to have a headache. He said, you ever take a bunch in the Eskimo country up there? We go, the sled dogs, northern Alaska, way up in the northwestern territory. The guy there was tying off the dogs called huskies. He tied one here and one out there and one over there. He said, why are you doing that? He said, they are so full of the devil, they'll kill one another. See, just kill, that's all they think about. Well, that's the devil, he's a killer. Even devils fighting devils, then they just fight one another. They can't do anything different, it's their nature. They learned to be rebellious from Lucifer when they fell from heaven. They took his nature, that was the undoing. Satan's kingdom was doomed from the beginning because the very nature of it was rebellion. Isn't that amazing? My. Taking way too much time. Let me hurry up here. I'm going to read out of Revelation 13 now. I'm going to look at this iron, this beast. Revelation 13, 1 said, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rising up out of the sea. First of all, whenever you hear the word beast, especially in Revelation, it's talking about a power. Don't think about some great monster, some walking around on, like, no. It's a power, right? Having 7 heads and 10 horns upon his horns, 10 crowns upon his head, this is the name of blasphemy. And the beast, the power, which is a spirit, which I saw was like unto a leopard, his feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So the dragon is Satan, and Satan gave this beast, this spirit, his power. Satan said to this spirit, okay, now go take power, do this, I give you authority, give you a seat of power, go and do this. And Satan actually gave this spirit his authority to go and do what he did. I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death. His deadly wound was healed, and the world wondered after the beast. And so we know this is when pagan Rome had control of the whole world with their great armies. And then the enemies, they got weak through their own corruption. They got weak through their own excesses. They got weak just the same way the United States has gotten weak because of politics and corruption and immorality and all these kind of things. They felt safe. And the same thing the United States had done. And if they fell, but what happened is they come back as papal Rome, but they had the same spirit. We all know this. This is nothing, like I said, this is just review. And the world wondered after the beast. That word wondered means admired. They admired the beast. They look at, wow, what a beautiful thing. Look at this great power among us. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. Think about it. The dragon is Satan, and so they worship. Well, they were worshiping the beast, but because he gave them the power, they were absolutely worshiping Satan. And Satan was absolutely fulfilling his own prophecy. I will ascend above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. I will be worshiped. And this is exactly what was happening. That's why he wanted to switch to papal Rome, to get that worship unto himself, to be like God. And they worshiped the beast, saying, they worshiped the beast also, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? He had such great power. This beast had such great power that he controlled the earth. Who can make war against this guy? And there is given great unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power is given unto him to continue 42 months, that's 3.5 years. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. It was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and power is given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all they that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into that captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and faith of the saints. So we have this beast that rose up, and first of all, from the sea, that means from among the people. So we're seeing that this beast came up from where there were already people established, and it was already, the Gentile kingdom was already in place, and it just kind of took over and carried on with the Gentile kingdom. That's what it means, coming up out of the sea. Continuing the Gentile age. So Satan gave him the power. He controlled all the kings of the earth. He seemed to lose his power through, came back as papal Rome. And he started his own church because Satan has to mimic what God does. That's all he's doing. He just sees what God does, and so he mimics it. All right? Remember this, friends. When you want to find Satan at work, always look for religion in this day. If you want to recognize what Satan's doing, look for religion. Look where he's doing. That's where he's deceptive for believers, for Christians. It's most deceptive in religion. So never lose sight of that deception. Keep an eye on that. All right. Let me get to this next one here. Well, I guess I won't. Let me just keep going here. So the whole world, even John, when John went to look at this beast, they showed, well, I can just read it. Let me just read this. I'm trying to get in a hurry here. Revelation 17:1. And there come unto, there came one of the seven angels that had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. The inhabitants of the earth have made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-covered beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. It's the same beast. 7 heads, 10 horns, names of blasphemy. This is the same beast. But look, there's a woman sitting on it now. All right? Because now this woman has writing this power, she's taking this power into herself, and she's fulfilling what she wants to do and using this woman to bring to pass these things that the beast wants to do. It changed from pagan to papal. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Look how she's incredibly rich. Yes. Having a golden cup of her hand and full of abominations and filthiness of her fornications. Think how nasty that is. On her forehead was the name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So we have this, he looks and he sees this. Oh, let me read one more. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I was disgusted. Somebody says, is it? I wondered with great admiration. Here is John, this prophet, and he sees her, this nastiness filled with the fornication and all this, and yet he looked at her and he said, wow, what a beautiful thing to see. What an amazing woman. How in the world could it be? Because it's so deceptive, friends. John wasn't deceived, but he looked at her and the angel said, why do you wonder about her? Why do you admire her? The whole world admires her. They all go after her because she has got so much power. She's so beautiful. She's wonderful. And how does she do it, friends? Let me just read some. Spiritual fornication. Fornication, what is that? It's hybriding. It's taking a seed from here and a seed from here and a seed from here. You mix it all together. And you know what you have? You have something more beautiful and more and larger and more powerful than the original, at least from a natural perspective. It looks better. And people like that. It appeals to their sense of their eyes, appeals to what they desire, their human nature. I remember this. I was thinking about this yesterday, and it's kind of weird. When I was born, we lived in southern Michigan. And we lived on one side of the road. Right across the road was my grandparents lived. My mom's mom and dad, Grandpa Bontrager, Grandma Bontrager. And my dad and my grandpa farmed together. They had a bunch of land around there, a lot of acres. And my dad loves to farm. And my grandpa did too. So they were farmers. Come out of Amish. Maybe that's where they got it from. But they always bumped heads. My dad told me about this. I was very young at the time. In fact, before I was born, they were doing this. But my dad wanted to farm organic, and my grandpa wanted to farm hybrid. My grandpa wanted to use hybrid seed. He wanted to use sprays to kill the weeds, to kill the bugs, and bring forth a nice, big, beautiful crop. My dad said, let's do organic. Let's not spray anything. Let's use this seed because it's healthier, it's better. And my dad's always had the thing for organic farming. And so they bumped heads, and my grandpa would raise a field of corn, and he'd get way more off that field than my dad would. And it was always like, if you would just do this, you know, talking to my dad, if you just do this way, you'd be making more money. And my dad wouldn't do it. And we moved, when I was 6 months old, we moved to northern Indiana, and he, very small farm, but he's still up farming, so he'd raise corn. He used to have a couple fields of corn. When I grew up, we'd always have corn, you know, a couple of small fields. And I remember one year when the corn really done well. My mom would just exclaim, "My, you know, you really got a good corn." I was looking at the corn, and I had been around farms a lot, and I saw it was nice looking corn, but it was small. And I say, you know, this isn't near as big as so-and-so's corn. You know what? No, because it's not hybrid. But it's got life in it. And he could take that same corn and plant it next year and bring forth another crop. But you take that hybrid seed, you got to go back to the lab, get to the people who raise it, and you can bring forth one crop with that, and then it's done. You always have to get new seed. So you say, well, what does that do with what we're talking about? That is hybrid religion. That's why hybrid religion is so dead. Because you can come together, and you take the word, and you mix just a little bit of man's idea in it. Why? To make it more palatable to the people. Can we just get personal here? We could have a way bigger church if your pastor would just go ahead and do that. If he would just take a little bit of word and mix it in there, we would have a church full of people. We'd have outgrown this place by now. And in fact, he don't even have to take anything and move it in there. He just has to quit hurting people's feelings when he's preaching, and they'd stay here. He just has to go and say, you know, when God puts something on his heart, he's supposed to preach. He said, I don't want to preach that because I'm going to hurt someone's feelings. And so he don't preach it. And so people stay here. You got a hybrid church. My. I am so thankful that we don't have a hybrid church. Because what you have to do, if you start doing that, you have to start adding a little more, because you got a church full of people, but after that initial season goes by, you got to have something else. And so what you do around the message, this is typically around the message, you have to keep adding more doctrines, or you have to keep finding new mysteries, and you get more and deeper, and you put this together, and people are saying, oh, wow, I never saw that before. And then you got another, add another myth. Oh, wow, I never saw that before. That's amazing. And you just keep educating people, and they think it's revelation. It ain't nothing more revelation than nothing. It's just an education, and you have to keep adding to it and making it more beautiful and more beautiful to keep the people there. And then also you have this kind of spirit around the message, is you got to keep adding holiness. You have to keep adding rules to follow. And there are people around this message. Let me just say, yeah, I can say this. Easter, there's a big group of message believers who over Easter, they shut down their phones, they shut down their computer, had no one, wouldn't call anybody, wouldn't accept any phone calls, wouldn't do any social media, they would not get on the internet. Why? They're just dedicating themselves over Easter weekend to just consecrate themselves to God. You say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. There's not. It's a good idea. Unless you make it your religion. Unless you say, well, if I don't do this, I'm sinning, because this is what my church is doing. This is an individual walk. If God comes to you, Brother Paul, and says, shut down your phone this weekend, I got something just you and me, then that's what you need to do. And if you turn to her and say, Susie, you need to do it too, she's going to say, he didn't tell me that. This is you, an individual. Yes. Don't be adding stuff to it. Don't be adding, but it makes you feel so holy. It makes you say, well, we are so holy. We're not going to be talking to you this weekend because we're shutting down our phones. Jesus said you add. He said you teach for commandments, the doctors of men. That's exactly what that is. You're organizing your religion. And then you have these same people. Well, they will have quiet time. They'll have prayer time. They'll listen to the same tape together. You know what I'm talking about. It's no different than the monks in the monastery going, oh, well, we have this time together, we have this. It's all organized religion. This is an individual walk, what God leads you to do personally. And what God leads you to do, Jimmy, he's not going to lead me to do the same thing, or Brother Wayne. So don't be trying to foist our religion on other people. Well, I think you should do it this way. I don't care what you think. I'm being led by the Holy Spirit, and so should you. And then, of course, we have the spirit that says, well, if you're not shouting and jumping all every service, there's something wrong with you too. See, what you have to do, you have to make it palatable so people like what you're saying, to make it beautiful, to make it greater, to have a bigger church. Let me get way off my subject for a second. Is that all right? Last August, I was in Utah. I was on a hiking trip. It was definitely the best trip hiking I've ever been on, just because God was with me so much. And I was hiking one day through this valley, this beautiful place, and I was just praying, you know, his presence with me, and I started praying about this church and all the problems we've had, all the struggles we've had, and God just started talking to me about this church. I'm not going to go into it right now. Maybe sometime he'll put on my heart to preach about it. Let me just assure you of something. God has not forgotten us. We have a very special place in his heart. None of this has been in vain. The trials, the struggles, the grief, the pain, the loss, it's not in vain, friends. You just push through a little bit longer. Just hold on just a little long. Keep going forward, and you're going to find that you shine as very bright stars in the shine. God likes this place. He's got this very special place in his heart for this little group of people. You say, well, where is everybody? We ain't hybrid. He ain't forgot us. We ain't some forlorn little group out in the middle of nowhere. We're right there in the center of his heart. He says, I know you guys in church. I know what Dixon has gone through. I know the struggles you had. You say, well, a lot of big churches, does that mean that? Absolutely not. God has different sized churches. He has different purposes for those churches. What if it was up to us to spread the gospel, to finance different people around the world? We have a hard time. We probably, struggle keeping our own finances taken care of. So he has big churches where a lot of money comes in. And he has those people take care of different things around the world. People, you know, poor people around the world who don't have the finances we have. And so he has them take care of that. We're all different, friends. Just be satisfied where God puts us. So if we preach an easy salvation, just believe. You believe the message is true? You believe every word the prophet said? You're born again. Isn't that amazing? You just believe it's true. Just as long as you believe it's true, you're good to go. Well, friends, if you believe every word the prophet said, you have to disbelieve some of the words he says. Do you believe Jesus is the second person of the Trinity? Well, he said it. You believe the Holy Ghost is the third person of the Trinity? If you do, you need to get born again. But the prophet said it. Where early in his ministry, it's on the tapes. I said, well, then what am I supposed to believe? You believe what God reveals to you. Don't get confused by making it. See, when you say, I believe everything, that's just an education. Anyways, let's keep going. But this beast church, she rises up, and because she has so much power, she has so much glory, she has so much finance, she has all this, and the whole world wonders at her because our own nature, that's what our own nature likes. Our own nature wants big things and pretty things and shiny things, and we want a program, we go to church. And so when you don't have the word, is that the gospel not being preached, you had to put program in place of gospel. Gospel is the manifestation of the word. Even John admired her. And then we'd find out she had daughters who wanted to be just like her. Is that right? Revelation 13:11. Let's keep reading. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb. He spake as a dragon. So right away, let's look at the huge difference here. This one came out of the earth where there was not a bunch of people. Why did God need to bring this power up out of the earth? Because so she would not be contaminated with the world system already in place. She had to withstand that system for a minute. It came up as a lamb. He had two horns like a lamb. He spake as a dragon. So he was a lamb. What is that? The Lamb of God was a true Christian church, a true Christian power, where God was using that power. And Brother Branham said that horns like a lamb, it represented the American buffalo. Isn't that neat? I think that's kind of cool. But then he spake as a dragon. What? When he got corrupted, he spake as a dragon. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him, causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So right away we see that the beast came up. It was the right kind of beast. It had the right kind of power. And America was founded. We know this is the United States. It was founded on the concept of freedom. Freedom from all that, and exactly that's why this country was raised up at the beginning, to withstand that first beast. It's to be opponent to it. That's why it was a Protestant move, and it started over in Europe, but it came over here and really took ground here as far as really withstanding it, because we were going to protest that first beast. That was why we were created to begin with, or this country was developed to begin with, is to protest that first beast. But she got corrupted and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. And he doeth great wonders, the second beast doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And so what happens is we saw this woman on the beast, she was a whore and she had harlot daughters, right? That word whore and harlot, they're actually the exact same word. And so, and it sounds, to me it sounds less offensive to say harlots. That's what the Bible says. But if we just, let's be point blank, she was a whore and she had whore daughters. Don't that sound a little more rough? It's true. You could say she is a harlot with harlot daughters, she's a whore with whore daughters. It's the same word. They're whores. The denominational churches, they have sold out, and they have, why did they want to do that? Because they saw how great and wonderful she was. They came up, you know, God had a movement. He bring up the Methodists, the Baptists, all these different ones, and they had a truth of God, but what would they do? They would say, well, we got it now. We got to protect it. And they write up their bylaws and their word, and this is what we believe. And they say, this is it. This is the truth. They put a period, and he said, as soon as you put that period against, after you die. And why would they do that? To protect what God had done. And they would use man-made ideas to protect it. Friends, what you say, all we need to do is listen to the tape. You have done the exact same thing. You have put a period after what you believe, because not that we're preaching different than the tapes, but it's the fulfillment of what Brother Branham preached. It's that word coming to pass. That's what we're preaching, so that we can see the exact day we're living in right now, today. What's today's day? The 18th? This word is up to date for April 18th, 2021. 2021, right? That's why we need to have the ministry, not put that, well, as long as I believe what's on the tapes, I'm good to go. No, I'm sorry. It don't work that way. And this beast had great power. It could do miracles. I mean, the Holy Spirit was moving through it. But then that take that same thing, and we have that false anointed ones come. Brother Brown, aren't you glad he preached that message? The false anointed ones. And so we know that just because they can do in power and miracles, it's still very deceptive. Just because people have the Holy Spirit working in their lives and within the church and through the ministry does not mean that it's not deceptive. That means it's of God, I should say. And then he said, let's make an image unto the beast. Make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So I think it's kind of important here. It says, first of all, he says, let's make an image to the beast. And then he says, the image of the beast. So you say, well, what's the difference? Well, one of the two, when you make something to something else, it's you're giving them worship. And so this image to the beast was to worship the first beast. But then it says an image of the beast. And when you make an image of something, it is an exact replica of that thing. If I said, I'm going to make an image of Brother Paul. Well, I'm going to take some clay or whatever. I'm going to make an image of Brother Paul. It's going to look like Brother Paul as much as I can make it. And that's what these harlot churches, these whore churches did. He says, well, they looked at Rome, and they looked at the power of the church and what you can do by fornicating, by committing spiritual fornication. You can have a greater church. You got more power. You got more money. And so they said, let's do what they did. Let's start fornicating with the word. Let's start hybriding the word. And look what it did. You know, they got to talk about big oil and big pharma and big auto and all this. Don't forget big religion. Incredible, powerful. And what makes it so powerful is because you get the people's souls involved and people start believing your religion. When you got people believing a religion, you got some power over them if you want to take it and use it wrong. One translation, it actually talks about he causes the beast's image to speak. I think that puts it really clear. This is the beast's image in two ways. First of all, the beast owns it. Second of all, it is an actual image of the beast. So when people say, oh, it's going to be some giant man walking around, some robot or something, like, this is the beast. Whoa. No. I mean, if you saw that coming, please. If you're deceived by that, you're not deceived by that. But so many people, that's what they're looking for, some great big something like that. It's the same with taking the mark of the beast. It's something that they think we're going to, like, put a big tattoo on your face, your forehead or something. Aren't you glad we had the prophet? Aren't you glad we have a message to open our eyes? Because if it wasn't for that, we would be the same place. If it wasn't for him telling us, we would be just, and that's why we don't look down on people, don't see it, because the only reason we see it is because God opened our eyes. Isn't that amazing? Thank God. But that first beast was so desirable and so beautiful, so wonderful that everyone wants to be like her. The old human nature does. So they committed fornication with her too. He causes all, both great, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand and in their foreheads, No man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast for his number. The number of a man is 666. So we know all where that's coming from. Let me read how Brother Branham said this in Thyatira Church Age. Satan and satanic religion are in both of these beasts. Remember, it didn't start out that way. It did not start out that way. It did in the first beast, but not the second beast. And again, think of, well, beast, it sounds horrible, but remember, it started out, it's a power, it's a spirit. It came here to withstand the first beast and then got taken over by him. In Revelation 14, the beast that was wounded unto death but lived again is imperial pagan Rome that fell to the onslaught of the barbarians, thereby lost their temporal power. She regained it in papal Rome. Do you see it? The nation that ruled by crushing all and which became the strongest empire ever known was finally wounded to death, but her power was gone physically as to control by armies, etc. But under Constantine, she came back to life, for papal Rome has infiltrated the whole world and her power is absolute. Her power is absolute. I watched a movie they made recently, about the Vatican during World War II and how they ignored the killing of the Jews. She could have stopped it. She had enough power. Why didn't she? First of all, because she don't like the Jews to begin with. Second of all, because that Nazism had to raise up to drive the Jews back to Israel. So everything is playing. Look at all these horrible things. It's all playing in God's hand. He's taking all these things, what Satan's doing, what the believers are doing. He's making it all work according to where they're supposed to. You know what's funny? Not funny, but it's ironic. Before World War II in Germany, they have a horrible depression there, and their economy was terrible before Hitler came and took over. The communists were trying to take over Germany. Communism was just branching out all over the place. After they had taken Russia, they're going over, and the Nazis rose up. Part of the reason they rose up was to stop communism, and they hated each other. They're killing each other. During World War II, when the Nazis would find like Germans who were communists, they would put them in camps, which with the Jews, they'd kill them too. They hated each other. Those two isms, those two spirits fighting against each other. Anyways, she has absolute power. She uses kings and merchants, and in her deadly religious and financial strength, she is governing as the goddess of this present age. That's the iron, right? But don't forget, the clay is right there. Not as strong, but it's right there beside her. Keep that in mind. All right. Keep that for next Sunday. I'm just about done, friends. Just about done, I think. So let's look at the mark of the beast here a little bit. Whoever takes the mark of the beast or the number of his name, what's the number of his name? Protestantism. Isn't that amazing? We're Protestants, right? Hope you are. But we don't just protest the Catholic Church. We're protesting the Protestant churches. Because they've all gone back to mother whore. The daughters and mom, they've united. Protestantism, let's make an image like unto it. Let's make an organization. Our church is just as big as the Catholic Church. He said there will be two forms of them. One form will come from Rome, which will be the beast, and there is an image to the beast, which will be the ecclesiastical head of the Protestant church. Let's keep reading down here. The Bible said there would be a boycott, even to such a way it would cause people to not buy or sell unless they had received this mark. The mark of the beast, which is Romanism, and the image of the beast, which is Protestantism. Remember, friends, this is the United States. This second beast that rose up is the United States. It's the power of the United States. And so, friends, when we had to be so aware that this is the spirit that is driving the United States. My. You look around, you see so many great people, good Christian people, but they're so blind. They're so, friends, if you're not part of the bride in this day, you're part of that system. Isn't that scary? But they're such good people. They believe so. And God is in their midst. He's doing things. Absolutely. And friends, some of those people, are going to be saved. We know there's foolish virgin out there, and I don't know who they are. I mean, we have a lot of ideas, and you know, Brother Bram said a thing, but I think we're going to find out for sure everything at the judgment. That's when we're all going to find out what's going on, because there's so many things and so many people, so many situations, we don't really know, I don't think. But everyone is going to be deceived except those whose names are written on the Lamb's Book of Life, right? So what happens, let me take about 10 more minutes. Let's talk about what happens when this beast started speaking like a dragon. Brother Brown said, this nation's number is 13. It's got 13 stars in the flag, 13 stripes in the flag, 13 everything's 13, 13 colonies. Found in the 13th chapter of Revelations. The Bible said she'd come up like a little lamb, freedom of religion, two little horns, Silvum Ecclesiastic. And after a while, they united. He spoke like the dragon did, done everything the dragon did before him. The Bible said there was an image unto the beast. It's the confederation of churches, just what they got right now here in New York City. Find what Jezebel did. How she took Ahab, and he wouldn't say nothing about it because it was his wife. Now, what he's doing now is he's bringing it over to Kennedy getting elected to president. 1960, right? He's elected president. Look what the nation was built upon. A backslidden Israelite, Ahab, with a pagan wife, Jezebel, behind him, who was a worshiper of Balaam. What did she do? She finally made everything so modernistic and so nice, and the people had it so easy, until the whole church fell for it, preachers and all. Didn't Elijah say, Lord, I'm the only one left? And as it was then, it parallels today. So he took it back to Ahab and said, well, Ahab took the throne. He had Jezebel be, but she was a pagan worshiper. And so what she did is she got Ahab to be quiet and let her run the show. And she made everything so modernistic and so easy. He just go to church, just pay a little tithe here and there, just follow a few rules. And that was the salvation, easy salvation. It's the same thing today. That's why this hybrid religion coming to the message and making it so easy to be a message believer. You don't have to die to yourself. Do you believe the message is true? You believe everything the prophet said? Yes, I do. You don't have to die to yourself. You're born again. Have you had an experience with the Holy Ghost? Yes, I have. Well, you're born again. Do you follow all the rules? Do you wear your clothing right? Yes, I do. Well, you're a believer. The same thing. It's the same spirit. And just so you know, I mean, I know you don't think this, but Jackie Kennedy was not Jezebel. I mean, she was a typer. But the Jezebel behind Kennedy was the Catholic Church. That's what's doing this. It wasn't Jackie. I mean, you know, she was what she was, but we're not talking about her being the neck that turns the head here. We're talking about the Catholic Church. He said, and all of them was afraid to say anything. Oh, boy. There's the United States 2020. Try to say something sometime. I'll just be honest. I guess I can say this. It might bite me. I recognize right now that in fact, Friday I was at work, I was walking around, and it just really struck me how I feel like I'm in the Soviet Union, the old Soviet Union, because I had to be so careful what I say. And it's not like in the Soviet Union, if you said something, they'd put you in a camp. They're not there quite yet so far, but you're going to lose your job really easy. You know, social media is so powerful. If one person, the wrong person or the right person, heard the things I preach here, I'll be out of a job in a very short time. And I recognize that my job, I have to train people, right? And there's some things, the classes we train, and they are right on the edge. And I look at it and I say, I can still say that. But if they take one more step, I'm going to my supervisor and say, I can't train people that way. Because it is so taken over and it's so pushing and it's pushing out. People get mad sometimes at the things I say when I talk about we should respect each other's rights to freedom of speech. They get mad. You shouldn't hate people. Respect that. If you want your rights to your religion and what you believe, don't you have to give someone else their rights? They don't like hearing that because that's so against what is being taught. America is done, friends. So if you hear I'm in the unemployment line, I'm blaming you because I had to preach this to you. They're afraid to say anything. Isn't that just like the same thing today? They're afraid to say something. So we find out they're just loose, haphazard, drunk, carrying on, pleasure mad, everything else just as it is today. So what happens when you're afraid to say something? Everything just falls apart. Everyone gets loose. When the pastors won't get in the pulpit and tell them the truth, what happens? The church gets loose. That's why Brother Brandon said it was pulpit delinquency. It was the first delinquency, at least to parental delinquency, and then child delinquency or juvenile delinquency. It starts in the pulpit, because when you are afraid to say the truth, then everything just kind of gets through. And what happens? Satan comes in there, and he's not afraid to come to church. Satan's not afraid to come in amongst us, because he knows the pastor and the preachers ain't going to say anything because they don't want to hurt someone's feelings. Are we not fulfilling this scripture today? Is this not what we see in this world around here?
Make the carnal mind believe that just to show. Thank you. that, and we got to a place where that came in like that, and we like we sold our birthright to take that. Well, if we can just, it doesn't matter, Catholic, Protestant, it don't matter. We're all just one anyways. She spoke like a dragon. She'd been roaring ever since. What a time. And then he says he predicted that the spirit in this system would be so much like the real thing, it would deceive the very elective if it was possible. So don't just look at those Protestant churches out there and the denominations and think that's where it's at, because that's not deceptive to us at all. It's in the message. The message has, there's people in the message that are roaring like a dragon. But they do it in such a way, so deceptive, that people think, well, this is good. All right? We're all good? That's all I got for today. That's the foundation. Didn't tell you anything you didn't know. But now, next week, I can just build on that and finish it off, hopefully, if it goes on. Let's go ahead and stand. Appreciate your listening, great attitudes, and just the pull on the words and the spirit. So you make it easy to preach here. I like that. Lord Jesus, we're just grateful that you would come and give the word and just kind of open our eyes a little bit, just a reminder, Lord, of where we're at, the spirits that we're facing today, the things that are trying to come against us. And Lord, when you show us these things, it helps us to know that you are very aware of what we're going through. You're very aware of the battles we face and the stress and the fears and the doubts that Satan hurls at us, Father. But at the same time, if you're aware of that, then we know that we can hide ourselves in you. And Lord Jesus, you keep us safe. We're hiding under your wings this morning. Rapture is preparing. It's just got to be a few seconds away in time, as it were. Lord Jesus, we just want to be prepared. As you said, watch and pray that this time doesn't catch you unawares. So we're thankful, Father, that you bring the word to keep our eyes open and watching and seeing what's going on around us. I pray for this little group of people here in Dixon, our pastor who's gone right now. Just let them have a wonderful, relaxing vacation. And just watch over him. And Lord, everyone here, whatever we're going through, we have so many needs. But Father, you so love to take care of our needs. And so we just give it all to you, Father. Bless us as we go from here. Keep us safe. And Lord, just watch over us until we meet again next Sunday. We ask this in your name. Amen. Come on, brother.